So some of you will have noticed this morning that I am not Paul. Paul was due to be with us, but he's actually going to be with us for a few weeks with the visiting speakers that are coming that you'll see in your June program. So he needed to really be at Swaffham today. So you've got me. So I hope that's not too much of a disappointment. Thank you. Okay, so... Right, I think Hannah's going to get the PowerPoint. Now, we have been incredibly blessed to have recently had an amazing holiday in Barbados. I am not going to show you my holiday snaps today, just in case you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a... And the idea is not to get you all depressed by looking at these pictures, but the sun is shining, folks, so that's really good. It's not quite Barbados, it is true, not quite, but anyway... But God really spoke to me while I was away, you know, and the wonderful thing is when you come back and you find that God's been speaking the same thing to other people. And, you know, Daryl shared last week about the Holy Spirit and our need of the Holy Spirit. And God had been speaking the same things to me while I've been away, very much challenging me about what I'm doing in my own strength. And you know, I listened to a number of messages on the podcast from the website that... I'd missed for various reasons, and you know, there was Andy and Rachel and Tim and Daryl and others that had spoken, you know, and I just felt like, you know what, I think we are incredibly blessed by the Word of God. You know, I'm not saying that because I'm speaking today at all, but I just think we have, you know, as a church, we have plenty to feast on. Okay, we are delivered messages that we can feast on. We have the food, if you like, that we need. But God really spoke to me and said, you know what, you can get very fat and very full on the food, on the word, but actually what we need is the Spirit. Because the word in itself, it's the Holy Spirit that takes the word of God, that brings it alive to us, that actually makes it make a difference to us. You know, we can sit and listen to message upon message, can't we, and not be changed. And God was really challenging me about that and about the need for the Holy Spirit. And it was interesting because Daryl said last week how, you know, God had sort of challenged him not to overcomplicate things, not to overprepare things. And God had been saying the same thing to me. So this is a very simple message this morning. I like simple because I'm simple, okay? It just all came out of an event that happened while we were on holiday, hence the reference to the holiday. So on our first day... we'd hired a car and we went out to explore. Now, we had a sat nav, but in Barbados, they don't have postcodes. So you just have to put in the name of where you're going and kind of hope it knows where you mean. Now, the roads in Barbados are a little bit challenging, shall we say, and they don't really have road signs, so you're never really quite sure where you are. Now, we put where we wanted to go into the sat nav and we duly followed it. Only it took us down some interesting routes. So we came to dead ends, where we had to turn around. There were local people going like this, and you think we're going to have to turn around here. We ended up on a road that was not a lot of road, okay? So, and we were in a very little car, and I was worried that we might actually lose our teeth on this road. It was one of those where you were like driving on this road. Anyway, we got to a point and we thought, we really aren't sure that this is right, where we're going to be, where we're heading. So we pulled over, got the map out, which wasn't a lot of use, it has to be said, and was kind of sitting looking at the map thinking, what do we do? Then we had a man on a motorbike pull up beside us. Does anybody watch Death in Paradise? Yes. Yeah. Well, it was just like the Death in Paradise, man, you know, the policeman on his motorbike. But it wasn't a policeman, actually. He was a postman. And he pulled up beside us and he said to us, do you need some help? And we went, yeah. So we told him where we wanted to go. And he worryingly said, oh, you're quite a long way from there. But then he said, follow me. I'll lead the way. So we followed him. Now, unfortunately, his motorbike could drive a lot faster on these roads than our little car. So I was a bit worried that we were going to lose him, but he kept stopping and waiting for us to catch him up. And he took us quite a long way, and then he pulled over and he said, right, it's just round here and round there, follow the road and you'll find it. And we did. So we were very grateful for our help of our very useful man. But God spoke to me about following him from this story. And it is a very, as I said, a very simple message. So I just want to share some thoughts with you today about following Jesus. Now I'm hoping this is going to work, but I don't seem to be getting anything, Hannah, so you're probably going to... Ah, there's our little man. There's the little man. Now this bit of the road actually wasn't too bad because I tried to take a picture on the other road and it was just like a... In fact, I did a bit of videoing and it was like, ugh. So anyway, this is our man. Can you see him there? A very friendly chap who, there he is, look, led us on our way and led us where we needed to go. Right. Is this working, Hannah, or is this you? I don't know. Anyway, we'll see. So, following Jesus. First of all, when we want to follow Jesus, I think you're going to have to do it for me, guys, if you don't mind. Oh, no, there should be another one next. Hopefully. Ah, first of all, some thoughts. First of all, if we're going to follow someone, we're going to follow Jesus. We have to have a desire to go somewhere. Sounds a little bit obvious, doesn't it? But we knew we wanted to get somewhere. If we're going to follow someone somewhere, it's because we want to go somewhere. There's a destination we're heading to. Would you agree? Okay. Now, if we weren't bothered about where we were going, it wouldn't have really mattered. We could have just gone anywhere. So we wanted to go to a destination. So my question to you this morning is, do you have a destination in mind? Are you going somewhere? In your journey with Jesus, do you have a desire to move forward to something? Do you have a desire to get somewhere, to change, to be transformed? Or are you kind of settled where you are? If we're going to move forward, we need to be moving in a direction to something. Would you agree? So to follow Jesus means that we must have a desire that we actually want to follow him somewhere, that there's a purpose in this trip, if you like, in this journey. So how often do we ask ourselves, how do I need to change? How often do we say to God, I don't want to stay where I am. I want you to take me on. I want to follow you to be different, to go somewhere. God just dropped a little phrase into my mind. It was just, there's more to explore. You know, I believe that there's an adventure that God wants to take us on. And it's our choice if we're going to follow him. But we need to have a desire to move forward. And we can't follow without moving. We have to actually make some progress. We actually have to move. When we become born again, when we put our trust in Jesus, we are born again into a new family. We are a child of God. If you like that new birth, we're like a baby in Christ, aren't we? But the purpose of God is never that we stay as a baby. You know, Helen and Pete have got beautiful baby Robin, but she's not going to stay a baby. They're probably quite pleased about that she will start sleeping through the night one day. Hey, there you go, you see? She will not be a baby forever, you know? And actually, if children don't grow up, if they don't progress, if they don't develop, we know that something's not quite right. We are designed to grow. We have the capacity to grow and develop. And that's what God wants for us, that we would move forward, that we would grow. So do you have ambitions? Maybe you have ambitions in terms of career or family or whatever. But what about your ambitions for faith? Do you have are you ambitious for God, for your faith to grow, for your relationship with him to grow? Do you think that maybe God might want to do something new and different in your life? Does he want to use you in ways you've not been used before? So we need to have a desire to go somewhere. Secondly, Hannah. We need to recognize that we can't do it without him. So when our friendly postman stopped and said, "Do you need some help?" we could have said, "No, it's fine, thanks. You know, we'll just kind of poodle along. We'll probably be driving around this island for the next, 3 weeks, but who cares, you know." No, we said, "Yes, please. We need some help." We could have thought, well, we don't want to look stupid. We don't want to look like the ignorant tourists that we are. You know, our pride might have stood in the way. But then we'd have just remained lost, wouldn't we? You see, we have so much available to help us in our daily lives in a natural sense that it's kind of quite easy to plod along in life, isn't it? Perhaps without recognizing that we need Jesus when things are going okay. We can kind of plod along. But what happens when we get to the end of ourselves? You know, it's often not until we get to that point where we are at the end of ourselves that we realize that Jesus is the one that we need. See, Jesus wants to fill us. As Daryl was saying last week, you know, the Holy Spirit is there to fill us. Trouble is, we're already so full. We're full of our own sufficiency. You know, our homes are full of stuff. Our diaries are full of events. Our minds are full of information and opinions. We can even be full of knowledge about God, as I said earlier, but not full of him. So we can plod through life, but then what happens when the rug gets pulled out from under our feet? When we face a difficult diagnosis? We lose someone close to us. Our job is under threat. A relationship breaks down. And actually, we realize that our own resources just aren't going to cut it. They're not that reliable. And actually, it can feel that our road looks a bit more like this. The wonderful thing is that God is never taken by surprise by any sinkholes in your road. And he promises to lead us through. In fact, our emptiness is an opportunity for him to fill us. And we don't often see it like that, do we? See, I believe self-sufficiency is the enemy. We weren't created to be self-sufficient, folks. We were created for dependency upon God. And it might sound obvious, but until we recognize our need to be led, we won't be looking for him to lead us. So we need to be humble and recognize our need, recognizing our need that we need to follow him. Admitting that actually in ourselves we're not going to get very far. We probably will go round in circles. Laying aside our pride is vital if we're going to be moving forward. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about a thorn in the flesh. And there's lots of debate about what that means. But it seems it's probably some kind of physical thing that he had to deal with. And it said he prayed for God to take away this thing that was obviously limiting him in what he could do for God. But in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, we read, Paul speaking, "But he," that's God, "said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Now, I'm guessing that we don't boast about our weaknesses very often. When was the last time you boasted about a weakness that you had? Probably not recently. We like to keep them hidden. We like to grow up, we grow up in a culture, don't we, of self-sufficiency, independence and strength. But God wants us to recognize our insufficiency, our dependence and our weakness, because then his strength is evident. Do you remember the story in Acts 4? Peter and John were arrested for preaching. This was after the Holy Spirit had come. And they were brought before the rulers and elders and leaders and teachers of the law. And in verse 8, it says that Peter stands up before these people, filled with the Holy Spirit, and begins to speak. But then we read in verse 13, when they, that's the teachers and the elders, saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. God was glorified not despite their weakness, but because of their weakness. Often we think that God kind of puts up with our weaknesses, you know? He kind of, well, he knows we're frail and we're weak, and he kind of deals, he uses us anyway. That's the grace of God, which it is. But I believe that actually our weakness is the opportunity for him to demonstrate his glory. Because we can't take any of it ourselves, can we? If it's our weakness. So we can boast about our weakness, because then the Holy Spirit does the work. God has promised to lead us, and that our weakness can be his opportunity. Our emptiness is the opportunity for him to fill us. But first of all, we have to surrender ourselves. We have to humble ourselves, acknowledging our utter inadequacy without him. So thirdly then, we need to trust that he knows the way. Now, maps are great. Sat-navs can be wonderful. But there's no substitute for following somebody else who knows the way, is there? Now, our friendly postman could have been lying to us. He may not have known the way at all. He could have been taking us on a wild goose chase. But we took a step of faith and we trusted that he did know where he was going and that actually he was wanting to help us out. And following Jesus is trusting that he knows the way. That actually he is faithful, that he's not going to lead us on a wild goose chase, that he can be completely trusted to lead us through, because he goes before us and he knows all things. Did you ever have a plan mapped out for your life? So those of you that are like me a little bit older, did you ever sit down and think, right, this is what I'm going to do with my life? Did you ever kind of have an idea how your life might turn out? See, Martin and I had a plan. Before we got married, God had spoken to us about serving him. So we actually had a plan. Okay, and our plan meant we were basically going to be in King's Lynn for 2 years. Then we were going to Bible college. And then we were going to serve God in a third world country. Well, it didn't happen, did it? Because I'm still here. So I'm really glad that God had other plans, that he knew his plans, and that we followed him rather than our own ideas. But you see, I don't know how your plans have turned out. Maybe you might have been able to follow your plan, your career plan maybe, your ideas of how life might be. But there may be people here, and actually, your hopes and dreams have been shattered. Your journey hasn't turned out anything like you would have imagined. You might be facing difficulties that you never anticipated. But as I said, you know, the wonderful thing is, Jesus was never taken by surprise by any of those things. His plans have not been thwarted. And we'll read that in Job. His hopes for you have not been shattered. He sees the whole journey and he knows just where he's leading you. And even when the going gets rough, he is still leading. He is the good shepherd. I just want us to read Psalm 23 because I love this psalm and it's just spoken to me again recently. So I'm just going to read this to us. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, we don't really like to think of the Good Shepherd leading us through the dark valley. But notice it says through. That means that there's progress through. It doesn't say he leads us into a dark valley. He leads us through the dark valley. That means, folks, we're not staying in the valley. And he leads us. He is leading us. We would rather stick to the sunlit hills, wouldn't we, than the dark valley. But Jesus knows he is our good shepherd and he leads us through. And the presence of the shepherd is what makes the difference. So when it says in verse 4, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, that's the difference. He is with us. That's why we need not fear. So if we have decisions to make today about our future, you know, there may be people here and you've got decisions to make about career choice or relationship or where you're going to live or what you're going to do. God has promised to guide us. That's wonderful. But, you know, even if we don't have any major decisions to make about, you know, those things, actually every day we have a choice. Are we going to follow Jesus? Are we going to trust him to lead us? We can trust that he is able to lead us through every part of the journey. We don't have to know what's coming round the corner, even though we would like to. Would you agree? Yes. We only need to know that Jesus does know. One of my favorite verses, and I know I've quoted this quite a bit recently, but Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. I love that. Do not be afraid or discouraged. You know, sometimes the journey can be discouraging, can't it? But the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He is leading us. He will be with us. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Okay, so fourthly, we need to commit to the journey. So when our postman was leading us, we had to follow him. We had to make a decision we were going to follow him. If we got distracted by another vehicle, then we would have decided to follow the other vehicle instead. We never would have got where we were going. We had to make a choice. We were going to follow him, even though the road was dreadful. And he had to keep stopping and waiting for us to catch him up. You can't really half follow someone, can you? So if someone's ahead of us, we either follow them or we don't. Does that make sense? You can't kind of half follow someone. If you aren't allowing them to lead, then you aren't following them. You can only follow somebody who's leading you. But following someone takes effort, doesn't it? You know, it does take a commitment. And Daryl was talking about weighing up the cost when he was talking about worship from Romans 12. We have to weigh up the cost of following Jesus. Is it worth it? Worship is about worth, as Daryl said. This journey with Jesus will cost us something. In fact, it costs us everything. See, Jesus didn't make it easy for people to follow him, did he? He didn't say, come on, follow me, you're going to have a nice, comfortable life. He made it absolutely clear what following him was going to cost. Luke 9, verse 23. Says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. The cross is a symbol of death. They would have known that the cross was a symbol of a horrific death. What do you think went through their minds when Jesus says that? If you want to be my follower, you've got to give up your own way. But more than that, you've got to die every day. You've got to die to yourself. Every day, it's about putting Jesus first. Every day, it's about saying, I don't matter, but Jesus does. And Jesus in me is the most important thing. My life I lay it down for him, that he can use me. He can lead me into the life that he has for me. He never promised us a comfortable road, did he? Never promised that it would be easy. In one sense, making a decision to follow Jesus is the easy bit. Living it out daily is where the real adventure begins. Would you agree? So finally, we need to stay close if we're going to follow. So as I said, our postman was able to travel much faster than us on the very bumpy road. I kept saying to Martin, don't lose him, don't lose him. But we couldn't really go any faster, not if we wanted to retain our bones and joints in the right place. But he kept stopping and waiting for us. The thing is that when you're following someone, if you've ever followed someone in a car, or maybe you've followed someone on a street, you know that it's so easy for other cars to get in the way, and then you're sort of, if you're not close, you think, oh, I'm going to lose them, I'm going to miss them. There are plenty of distractions to following Jesus, aren't there? There are plenty of other things that we can be following, plenty of things that can get in the way, that we can end up diverting our attention to. So how do we stay close to Jesus? Well, there are no shortcuts to this, folks. If we want to follow Jesus, we have to invest in our relationship with him. You see, when Jesus called his disciples, they would have had an understanding of what becoming a disciple meant. So when Jesus said, follow me, in their culture, when a rabbi, a teacher, that Jesus was known as a teacher, when they asked someone to follow them, to become their disciple, it was an incredible privilege. They would be able to spend time with this rabbi, learning from them, understanding, being taught the scriptures, understanding how to live out the scriptures day by day. It was an incredible honor and privilege. They had unlimited access to this rabbi. So Jesus gave the disciples an opportunity to live with him, to share his life, to spend time with them. He invested in them. He imparted to them, and they could receive and learn from him. They could see him living it out. Now, we don't have Jesus physically with us today, but we have the Holy Spirit, which is better because the Holy Spirit can be with all of us all of the time. That's why Jesus said he had to go to the Father so that the Holy Spirit could come. Jesus offers us a relationship of intimacy. Now, you may have heard this before, but the word that the Bible uses for God knowing us and us knowing him is yada. And this is the same word as used for physical intimacy between a husband and wife. One definition is to know completely and to be completely known. It's that level of intimacy. Now, while we're on holiday, Martin turned to me at one point and he said, I really don't know how people can have affairs, he says, because I really don't think I could begin to start to understand another woman. Now, I think what he was trying to say was that we have a pretty good understanding about each other, and he knows me quite well, and the effort of trying to understand another woman obviously was going to be too much for him. Personally, I wouldn't want to start trying to understand another man either. But the point is that when you know somebody really well, you know their likes and dislikes. You know when they're comfortable and when they're not. And you don't have to keep sort of saying, are you okay? Are you happy with this? Is this all right for you? Because you kind of know. Jesus knows us completely. And he wants us to know him too. Now, obviously, he is our Lord and King. He is the Almighty God. So we have that sense of awe about him as well. But he still wants that intimacy with us. He wants us to enjoy being in his presence, just as we enjoy being with those that we love. He wants us to be relaxed, to be ourselves, without any form of pretense. So if we want to follow Jesus, we need to have a desire to go somewhere. We go back one, Hannah, sorry. We need to recognize we can't do it without him. We need to trust that he knows the way. We need to commit to the journey, and we need to stay close to him. So my question today is, are you following Jesus? The definition of a follower is one in the service of another, one that follows the opinions or teaching of another, one that imitates another. How can we follow the opinions or teachings of someone unless we know what they are? How can we imitate somebody unless we know what they're like? We can't follow Jesus without the Holy Spirit. We need to keep being filled with the Spirit. It's the Spirit who enables us to know Jesus, because he's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to keep going when our road is more pothole than road. And it's the Holy Spirit who stirs in our hearts to love Jesus and to desire to follow him in the first place. You see, this journey is supposed to change us. Being close to Jesus is supposed to transform us. Following Jesus is all about transformation. Now, I want to do a little demonstration here, and Graham's going to come and help me so that I can actually, you can see it, because you won't see it otherwise. So I have some Play-Doh here for the purposes of the tape. I have a piece of green Play-Doh and a piece of yellow Play-Doh. This is technology for you. So, let's get that out of the way. So this yellow Play-Doh, this is me, okay? Looks like me, doesn't it? Rob? Okay, so this is me, this is my life. So this is my relationships, my work. This bit could be my family. This is all to do with me. Okay, so I'll do this so that you can see. So this is me. Can you see that? Because I can't see if you can see that, right? I'm sorry it won't be on the screens at the back. This is me. Now I can add, this is Jesus. Obviously, Play-Doh does not accurately represent Jesus. I'll just put that out there. But let's just say that this is my relationship with Jesus. Now, I can add a little bit of Jesus to my life. But it's not really changing me particularly, is it? And actually, it's quite easy for me to lose that. Just stick him on there. Yeah, a bit of Jesus. Yeah. But actually, what God wants is for us to be full of Jesus. And when we get full of Jesus, what happens? Well, it starts to affect every part of my life. So as I let Jesus kind of fill me up, and I don't keep bits of my life, like Daryl was saying about the airing cupboard, out of bounds, can you see what starts to happen? I actually look a little bit more like Jesus than I do like me. And the more I add, the more like Jesus I become. So as our journey goes on throughout life, as we keep moving forward, as we keep allowing God to invade our lives, as we keep being filled with the Holy Spirit, we start to look a lot more like Jesus and a lot less like us. Still us, because God made us unique and he's still using us as us. But actually, we become more like him. And every part of my life is affected by Jesus. And that's what God wants for us. So I want to ask you today, where are you in your journey? Are you following closely? Have you changed? Has this journey transformed you? Have you got an idea where you're going to go? Are you staying close to Jesus? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you, to transform you? Do you see your life with Jesus as an adventure? Or has it all just become a little bit of a hard slog? I believe that God wants to take us on an adventure. He wants to take us on a journey. And we probably don't know quite where that journey is going to lead. Well, most of us don't, if we're honest. But if we know that we want to change, if we know that we want to move forward, God is very willing to lead us forward. And he is completely faithful. And whatever your journey looks like right now, God is faithful. He is leading you through. If you will trust him, he'll bring you through. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have promised to lead us and that you have called us to follow you. And Lord God, we don't know what the journey holds. We don't know what's around the corner. But Lord, I thank you that you have promised to lead us on and to lead us through. Lord, we want to stay close to you. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, if I've lost my passion for you, God, fill me up. Give me a passion to follow you. If I've lost any sense of that desire to follow you, Jesus, then I pray, God, today, will you ignite that afresh within us, Lord? That desire to follow you wherever you might lead. Oh, Lord, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you to invade our lives, to fill every part of our lives, that as we follow you, we are being transformed more and more into your likeness. Lord, I pray, will you speak into each of our hearts today about our own journey with you? This is personal. This is nothing that anybody else can do for us. Lord Jesus, we want to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. You are our good shepherd. You are our good shepherd. And Lord, I want to pray specifically for anybody here today who's feeling like their road is more sinkhole than road. That they recognize that perhaps they are in a valley. God, I pray that they would know today that you are leading them through. That your promise is that you will lead them through. And our weakness is your strength. Our emptiness is your opportunity. Lord, we are glad today to boast about our weaknesses because in you we are strong. In you we have everything that we need. Fill us, Lord. We need you. Fill us.